God. We've got lots of things happening, so do please check the order of service. In fact, when you take it home, put the dates on your diary so that you know what's happening. And I'd just like to say a huge thank you to those of you who have already given me jigsaws, Lego, and various things to take out to Zambia. I think I'm going to have to weigh my suitcase soon and see if I can take any more. But it's just wonderful that you're all so generous, and I just can't wait to see the children's faces when I get there. I've got a couple of extra intimations. On Sunday the 23rd of February... Ooh, I've just gone louder, haven't I? Sunday the 23rd of February at 7 o'clock, there's an evening service in Carstairs Parish Church with Clyde Valley Praise, who do a traditional, spiritual, and contemporary service of music, praise, and prayer. And I understand Elizabeth Cleland is involved with that as well. It'll be a lovely service. There'll be tea and coffee afterwards, and you can all have a look at the recently refurbished Carstairs Church. I was in it yesterday, and I'll have to say, I think it's looking lovely. So do go along and have a look and see what they've done there. And, of course, join in the praise. It'll be a good night. And slightly further ahead for Lent, again, Brayhead House, again, Elizabeth Cleland, will be doing her journey through Lent. Weekly Friday lunchtime reflections. 12 o'clock for a simple soup and bread lunch, which is £5 each week. And then a time of reflection for Lent at 12:30, which will last about half an hour. It's designed so that if you work, you can nip down and just have that hour as your lunch hour. Again, that will be up at the back of the church and highly recommended. I've been to them in past years. Any other extra intimations? No, I've got a nagging feeling there's something, but I can't. Nope. Oh, well. Oh, yes. I've just found it. There's a lovely thank you letter came in the post, so I'll just read it out. We wish to thank you so much for the flowers you gave us on the occasion of our mother's death, the Webster family. So a huge thank you to everybody, but in particular, the flower ladies who do such a wonderful job of remembering everybody. So I'll have that one up at the back as well. And coincidentally, of course, this is the first Sunday of the month, 2nd of February, so there's the opportunity to give to the Flower Fund as you leave the church. Right. I think that's all that I've got to tell you. Any birthdays? Nobody admitting to any birthdays this week? She's being very quiet, but I know that it's Heather's birthday this week. She's going to be 19 on Thursday, is it? On Thursday. And although she's a long way away, which I'm quite sad about, it's my daughter's birthday today, 2nd of February. And it's such an amazing date, 02/02/2020. So it's a very special day. Could we sing happy birthday to Heather and Shona? Although you'll have to sing really loud for her to hear from Manchester.
Happy birthday to you, happy birthday to you, happy birthday dear Heather and Shona, happy birthday to you.
So we are here to worship God as part of his family. God is love. And we can only love one another because God first loved us. And his love is a perfect love which drives out all fear. And God sees every one of us, including Arthur, of course, as gorgeous. It's lovely to have Arthur with us in church. So let us say a couple of verses from Psalm 15 together, and then we're going to do the hymn song that we started learning last week, the down to earth one that we've got a video with. Yeah. Lord, who may dwell in your sacred tent? Who may live on your holy mountain? The one whose way of who does what is righteous, who speaks the truth from their heart. Whoever does these things will never be shaken. Amen. Right. I'm really challenging poor Owen. It's the first time that he's worked the sound system, and I've given him so many different things to do this morning, but I've got every confidence. But please be patient. We'll go on to our down-to-earth song. You can stand or sit for this one and just join in with the chorus if you can't get all the words. But the words are so worth reading, even if you don't manage to sing them.
They came in search of great music, and this is what they found. Fishy Music presents...
Crank up the volume a bit.
Down to Earth.
That's not quite right. It's more like this.
Could have been born in a royal palace and called your majesty, wore a crown of diamonds and lived in luxury. But he was born in a dirty stable and laid on a bed of hay. Not too many welcomed him on the very first Christmas day. He is down to earth, he is down to earth. The one who changes the world for them is down to earth. He could have been friends with rich and famous, with big celebrities. Had anything he wanted, living as he pleased. But he made friends with the poor folks, with the sick and with the lame. He helped them with their problems and he called them all by name. He is down to earth, he is down to earth. The one who changed the world forever is down to earth. His servants would have bowed and said, "Your wish is my command." But he wore the crown of thorns, gave everything he had. He gave his life that we might know the great love of his dad. He is down to earth, he is down to earth. The one who changed the world forever is down to earth. He is down to earth, he is down to earth. The one who changes the world forever is down to
The Good Samaritan. Yeah. So, can you remember any bits of the Good Samaritan? What happened? Jack, I think you're the only one who was paying attention.
There was this man who got beat up by robbers.
A man who got beaten up by robbers. I'm just repeating it so everybody can hear you.
And then two good people walked by and they didn't help.
Two good people walked by, but they didn't help. So do you think they were down to earth?
Yeah.
or did they have their noses in the air?
Noses in the air.
I think they had their noses in the air, and they walked past on the other side of the road, didn't they? And they ignored the poor person. So what about the third person who came along?
The bad and nasty person helped the man and gave him a blanket over to rest in.
The bad, nasty man, who was actually the Good Samaritan, but he was thought of as bad by the snooty people. Yeah, he stopped and he gave a blanket. Oh, and Jennifer's got something to say, have you? What can you remember? You've gone all shy? Well, if you decide you want to tell me something about the story. He didn't help. The first two snooty people didn't help. And there's an awful lot of people in the world, and I'm guilty sometimes of not stopping to help somebody. But the good person did, and I think that he was down to earth, like Jesus, because he didn't mind getting his hands dirty. And he stopped. He didn't mind being delayed in his journey. And he stopped and he gave a blanket. And what else did he do for the man? I think he put oil on his wounds or something, did he?
Caroline had her hand up.
Oh, Caroline had her hand up. Have you got something to say as well, Caroline? You going to tell me something? You can tell me later if it's... She's going to tell me later. So I heard a wee story which fits in a kind of a way, because what we're going to hear about later in the service is a list of sayings called the Beatitudes. And one of the Bibles, most of the versions that we read say, blessed are. But anybody, any idea of what blessed means?
If you bless someone.
If you bless someone, yeah, yeah. Well, some Bibles make it much more simple, and they say happy. So blessed is really much the same as being happy. So I heard this story about a puppy. And the puppy was running around, and suddenly one day he realized that it was really, really good if puppies were happy. And what he also realized was that when he was happy... If he looked round, what was happening? His tail was wagging. So the puppy went, oh, isn't that amazing? That's where my happiness is, in my waggy tail. So he thought he'd got to go and tell somebody. So he went to find an older dog and he said, guess what I found out? And the older dog says, I have no idea. What did you find out? Puppy says, I found out it's really, really good for puppies to be happy, and I've found out that happiness is in our tail. So what am I going to do? I'm going to chase my tail until I catch the happiness. So he started running round and round and round and round, round in circles. Have you ever seen a dog doing that?
Yeah.
It's really funny, isn't it? They go whizzing round and round and round in circles. Your grandpa's dog does that, and then he falls on the floor, does he? I've seen dogs fall on the floor. So the old dog thought for a moment, and he said, well, you're young, and I know you're absolutely right. It's really good for puppies to be happy. And you're absolutely right that happiness is in our tails. But I tried when I was young to chase my tail. And you know what? It just kept running away from me. I never caught it. But what I discovered as I've got older is that if I always listen to my master, and if I follow him or her, we go for lovely long walks, and then I go home and I sleep, and then my master calls and it's supper time and I get a lovely bowl full of food. And you know what? I'm happy all the time. And my waggly tail follows me instead of me trying to catch it. And you know, that's a really good lesson for all of us, of all ages, that too often we go looking for happiness somewhere else. But when we follow Jesus and listen to his voice, we'll find that happiness is with us. Happiness is following us all the time. Because the world isn't always happy, but Jesus is turning the world upside down. Do you remember we did upside down once before, and I bent over and looked between my knees? Do you not remember me doing that? Or you maybe weren't coming. You remember. Was that very silly? Will I do it again? Yeah, go on. So if the world's upside down, I look like this. Oh, my goodness me. All I can see is feet and knees. Everything looks different if the world's upside down. So we're going to have a word of prayer, and then we're going to sing another song together about Jesus turning the world upside down. He was down to earth, but he turned the world upside down. There's lots of things we don't understand about Jesus. How did he do that? That is such a good question, Rory.
I think I know.
Do you know the answer, Ewan?
He went to the soil and
just held the roots of the grass and trees and then turned them upside down. He's certainly got enough power to do that, but I think the secret is love. I think God's love is strong enough to grab the roots of the trees and the grass and turn it upside down and change the world. He's the one who changed the world, and yet he's down to earth. And Arthur's wanting to join in. Let's have a word of prayer together. Loving, living God, we thank you that you are a down-to-earth God, that we can find happiness not by trying to look for it in the wrong places or chasing our tails, but by following you and obeying your word. Lord, help all these children of Jigsaw to always find happiness following them wherever they go and whatever they do. And let them witness your love turning the world upside down. And let's say together the words that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Now, I understand that you're heading off early today, so we're going to start singing the song. But once you're really getting into it, you can get up and start heading down to the hall. Okay? And David's going to go ahead of us and open the door for you because it's awful stiff. So if you've got the wee red book, if you can't read the screen, it's number 84, All the World Belongs to You. door keeps getting stuck. It's just the weather, I know, but I meant to say. Let's come before God in prayer. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, you call us to come. You invite us to enter the kingdom of heaven, which is near. Don't worry about passports or currency, you say. And as for luggage, the less you take, the better. The borders are open day and night. There are no restrictions. Lord, we think this sounds too good to be true, that there must be some catch. There is no catch, you assure us. Since you are a loving God, your kingdom does require of its citizens that we should in turn love. First, loving you, then ourselves, then others, reaching out in ever-widening circles. Only this way can the joys of the kingdom be truly appreciated. Lord of the kingdom, forgive us, we pray, all the hardness in our hearts, all the resentments and stored injuries, and anything else which hinders us from growing as you would have us grow, from growing in love. Thank you, Lord, that you do forgive us and bring about in us such a radical change that we might walk with joy in your light as we follow you. Amen. Now Miriam is going to read for us first our second reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Today she will read verses 10 to 18. And then from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 4.
A church divided over leaders. Appeal to you, brothers and sisters, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree with one another in what you say, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly united in mind and thought. My brothers and sisters, some from Chloe's household, have informed me that there are quarrels among you. What I mean is this: one of you says, I follow Paul, another, I follow Apollos, another, I follow Cephas, still another, I follow Christ. Christ divided. Was Paul crucified for you? Were you baptized in the name of Paul? Thank God that I did not baptize any of you except Crispus and Gaius, so no one can say that you were baptized in my name. Yes, I also baptized the household of Stephanas. Beyond that, I don't remember if I baptized anyone else, for Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom and eloquence, lest the cross of Christ be emptied of its power. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who have been saved, it is the power of God. Jesus begins to preach. When Jesus heard that John had been put in prison, he withdrew to Galilee, leaving Nazareth. He went and lived in Capernaum, which was by the lake in the area of Zebulun and Naphtali, to fulfill what was said through the prophet Isaiah. Land of Zebulun and land of Naphtali, the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people living in darkness have seen a great light, and those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. From that time on, Jesus began to preach, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." Jesus calls his first disciples. As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come, follow me," Jesus said, "and I will send you out to fish for people." At once they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, preparing their nets. Jesus called them, and immediately they left the boat and the father and followed him. Jesus heals the sick. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and illness among the people. Amen. May God bless the reading of his holy word.
Thank you, Miriam. Our hymn before the sermon is one of my great favourites. In fact, we sang it at my induction. Hymn 532, "Lord, You Have Come to the Seashore." Let us pray. Lord, may the questions on our lips and the wonderings of our hearts lead us to a deeper trust in you, our maker, mender, and muse. Amen. Is Christ divided? You're allowed to speak. No, of course not. Jesus Christ is probably the most together person ever. He is one, part of the unity and diversity that we call the Trinity. Jesus doesn't change what he says or how he acts according to who is watching and listening. As we read in Hebrews 3 and verse 8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. So why is his body, the church, divided? I guess the bottom line is because we're human. How could the church be perfect when it's made up of imperfect human beings like us? When Paul's speaking to the church at Corinth, and I warned you last week that that first passage was so positive and encouraging, and then he was going to get to the nitty-gritty. Well, this is where it starts. Paul speaks to the church at Corinth, identifying factions developing in their community as different members declare their allegiance to different leaders. One of you says, I follow Paul. Another, I follow Apollos. Another, I follow Cephas. Still another, I follow Christ. I'm surprised that Paul didn't point out that Christ is in a whole different category. But he doesn't. He goes on to ask three questions. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? And were you baptized in the name of Paul? Now, I hope it's clear to all of us that the answer to each question is a resounding no. Yet the church worldwide is divided into many different groups and denominations, all claiming that we follow the one, Jesus Christ, yet at the same time asserting that the way that we do that is right, while your way is wrong. Or maybe if we're feeling generous, we might say, your way is different. All divisions are a symptom of the desire for Christians to outdo our neighbors, to have power over them. And that is the complete opposite of what the gospel teaches. The gospel is foolishness in the eyes of the world, because it teaches us to serve one another. It teaches us about suffering, weakness, and struggle shared together, for that is where God's power is. I was delighted that so many of you and of the Catholic people came along to our ecumenical songs of praise in St. Mary Magdalene's on Wednesday. Wasn't it a wonderful evening for those of you who were there? There was such warmth. It reminded me of Psalm 133. How good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. It's like precious oil poured on the head, running down on the beard, running down on Aaron's beard, down on the collar of his robe. It's as if the dew of Hermon were falling on Mount Zion, for there the Lord bestows his blessing, even life forevermore. We had a glimpse of Christ's church undivided that night, and of a lovely, really down-to-earth leader in Father Hugh Kelly. And as I discussed with Jigsaw, I believe that Jesus is a really down-to-earth leader. Now, this week's gospel reading contrasts in some ways with last week's. We heard a different version of the calling of Andrew and Peter. Was one version, John's version, right, and Matthew's version wrong? I don't think so. I believe that each of the four Gospels tells the story of Jesus in slightly different ways, seeing it from a different angle, if you like, partly to ensure that we don't take every word literally, partly so that we're enabled to see the many paradoxes, and partly so we realize that we can only ever understand and know a small part of the gospel. We can only ever understand and know a tiny bit about God. I pointed out last Sunday that John does not mention repentance, and yet here in Matthew's gospel, we read that Jesus began to preach, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." The Greek word that's translated repent in that place is an imperative, metanoite, and it's more accurately understood something like be of a new mind, or perhaps change your way of thinking. So rather than simply repentance being about changing our ways, about stopping whatever sins we've been committing, it's more about seeing and thinking as God does, rather than as humans do. It's about seeing a completely different kind of reality. God's revealed news, the news that in the cross of Christ, the unexpected reality of God's gracious love has broken into our fallen world. As Jesus said, the kingdom of God has drawn near. There is now light in the darkness. We can see more clearly all the faults and failings of our society. God wants to change us through his Spirit so that we reach out to one another, not with criticism or backbiting, but with love and acceptance, resulting in harmony and in our seeing one another through the eyes of Christ. I mentioned life and work. There's a lovely piece in the youth section by a young woman who's an elder in Arbroath St. Andrews, and she speaks about the importance of congregations in raising church families. I'm just going to read one paragraph, but I thought this was lovely. "I will never be able to thank my church family enough for the love that they have shown to my family in the last 2 years. She has a two-year-old boy. They are standing with us as we raise our little boy, not judging, not complaining, just loving, sowing the seeds of a faith that I hope will one day bear fruit." She says that church congregations should not undervalue the influence that we have on families and young children. And we are so fortunate in this church to have a number of young families. So let's always treasure them. Is Christ divided? Thank you. No. No, no, no. So if he's not divided, isn't it time for us to be reconciled within ourselves, with each other, and with God? Because that's what God's love makes possible. Amen. And let's continue our worship with the giving of our offerings. Thank you. Let us pray. Loving, living God, if the only prayer we ever say in our entire life is thank you, it will be enough. We come to church each Sunday to say thank you to you, to draw closer to you, to support and encourage one another, and to share in our suffering, in our darkness, as well as in the light and the joy. For as you are not divided, so we are not divided. So, Lord, we ask that you receive these, our offerings, along with our worship, our prayers, and our everyday lives, our down-to-earthness, and use them all for the growth of your kingdom, here and forth and throughout the world. In Jesus' name and for his sake, amen. Longing for light, we wait in darkness. Christ, be our light, shine in our hearts, and shine in our church gathered today. Let's stand, those who are able, and sing hymn 543.
Thank you.
Just before I begin our prayers of thanksgiving and intercession, I realise that I failed to mention, you all know that we were awarded £55,000 from the Town Centre Fund, mainly for improving our kitchen and providing a cinema. I'm delighted to say that the work is starting this coming week, so be warned, there will be some disruption in the halls and the kitchen from about Thursday onwards. Any groups who are going to be directly affected will be told directly. But let's, rather than mumping and moaning about a few days' disruption, let's thank God that all our prayers have been answered. Well, not all of them, but many of them. And work is at last starting. We're going to see changes for the better in our church and in our halls. So let's come before God in prayer. God of unity and diversity, unique and yet living within perfect community, Creator, Word and Spirit, one and three, three and one, dancing together in eternal unity and common purpose. We give you thanks that you invite us to share in the great dance of loving, living relationship with you and with each other. We thank you for the vast array of gifts you have given us, for the variety of ways you spark our imaginations, for delighting in each and every one of us, for calling us to yourself and naming us beloved and gorgeous. You are our light and our salvation, the very ground of our being, our guardian and our guide. We give you thanks that, though many, yet in you we are one, of one faith, of one baptism, of one Lord. God of us all, you call us to follow. You call us to love. You call us to live as your people. Gathered together as your people, we now bring before you our concerns. Lord, we thank you that you hear all our prayers and that you know in this week ahead Brexit is going to happen. Lord, remind us that your word alone has power to save us. Make us your living voice. And so we pray for your world in all its extraordinary breadth and depth, with all its many wonders. Teach us not to take the astonishing beauty of your creation for granted. Help us to be more mindful of the ways in which we live on this planet. May our footprints be softer, our use of resources gentler. Remind us of our calling to live in harmony with creation. We pray for the places and peoples of this world, so many languages, cultures, traditions, so many ways of thinking, of doing, of being. Teach us to celebrate the different and not use it to cause division. Help us to respect one another as those who have been created in your image. May our words raise others up. Our actions bring healing, not hurt. Remind us of our calling to live as communities of peace and reconciliation. And we pray for your church, not made of stone, but of flesh and blood, flawed and fallible human beings. Teach us to see you, Christ, who unite us beyond differences in doctrine. Help as we accept each other, as those joined together through your Spirit. May our life together be marked by kindness and our purpose to love as you have loved us. Remind us of our calling to live as your kingdom here on earth, as it is in heaven. And let us say together the words of the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And we'll close with hymn 509, for goodness knows whether there will be any tumult or a restless sea this week. Maybe it'll all be a storm in a teacup. But let's trust always in Christ, the undivided one. Hymn 509, Jesus calls us o'er the tumult. So as we go out into this week ahead, may we know that we are securely united in Christ. May we respect everyone who is different to us in whatever way. And may we love one another as Christ loves us. And may the blessing of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, remain with us and help us today and forevermore. At the back of the church, please complete them and leave them in the church today. We really need to have them back by Wednesday's Kirk session meeting. I mentioned them before Christmas, but in all the busyness of Christmas it kind of got lost. But please, if you could manage to quickly fill out one of these before you leave church today, we'd be very grateful. As we go out into the world, may every single one of us know that God has no favorites, that he sees every single one of us as his beloved child, and he is pleased with every single one of us. And may the blessing of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, rest and remain with each and every one of us, those we love, those who love us, and those we struggle to love, today and forevermore. As we go out into the world, and as June and Jim take these wonderful gifts to deliver them to those in need, Lord, help us to know your peace. Peace within us, peace between us, and peace with you and the whole of your creation. And may the blessing of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, rest and remain among each and every one of us today and forevermore.